there? Yeah. Yeah, I told Pastor Hankey, I said, well, I'm 15th on the list, I know. If I said it like Dr. Comfort would say it, he'd say, open your Bibles. 2 Corinthians now, young man, young man. Yeah, he and I never will forget, we was up in a camp and had a bunch of those guys from Chicago. Boy, I mean, they were tough characters. And right on the front row had about a 17-year-old kid and had that marijuana leaf hanging around his neck in plastic. He had long hair. He thought he was a beauty. I mean, just lovely, you know. And and so I was preaching, and he started talking right in the middle. And I said, hey, it's your turn to be quiet, my turn to talk. Now don't say anything else. Well, I hadn't said three words. He started again. And I looked at him, I said, if you do that one more time, I'll put a little marine love on you. And he did. And so when he did, I just went over and grabbed him up, and I just snatched him up out of his seat and shook him. Like that, and I said, don't open your mouth again. You know, he got saved Thursday, though. But then Brother Comfort, I was over here in the initial, the first building you were in, everybody's on the same floor, and he said, I just want to warn you, all of you that are up near, you're in danger, right? But I always used to have some good times, and I was in that same camp first time Nathan Dietrich preached to a bunch of kids, and it was that same bunch of kids. And me and Nathan wept every night. I was preaching a revival in another church, and he and I'd cry every night about how the things were going. But I didn't hardly sleep a wink last night thinking about Pastor Camp. I remember full well my first meeting, right down here in Far City. Not Forest City, but Far City. And boy, we had great, great services. And I thought to myself, I'm worse than John Boehner about weeping. I can't do anything without weeping. I'm the biggest sissy in town. But you know, I believe a real man can weep. Amen? If you're a real man, you can have some tears. I thought about this. I know we're not losing him because he's going to just be right down the road. I remember in my Marine Corps days, I lost two commanding officers, both of them great. Pastor Camp is like a commanding officer. He always directs you and helps you and looks out for you and is always cares for you, and if you're a visitor there, you feel like you live there, and his family's the same way. I just wish Renee loved him as much as my wife loves me. But we've been going at that for a long time. But I was reading in my Bible in Jeremiah 50 and verse 44, and the Word of God says here, now Cyrus is about to come down on Babylon. And verse 44 says, behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan unto the habitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And then this interrogative, who is a chosen man? I thought of Pastor Kim. A chosen man. You folks are going to be in that process, you know. I believe you could say a chosen man is a selected man. This is a selected man, no doubt about it. And he's an acceptable man. There's some men you don't like to be around. This is the kind of man you want to be around all the time. And an excellent man, a choice man, if you will. And so I think that, you know, when you think about a chosen man, I think that, Pastor, you, in my eyes, in my light, have been that to me. Although I'm a lot older than you, you just have been that kind of fella along the way that's been that chosen guy.
I believe, like the Bible says in Acts 6:3, "Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report." You see, a chosen man is an honest man. Amen. We're living in a day and time, beloved, and most of you know, or perhaps you don't know, there's much mischief in the pulpit today. There's much mischief in the pew today. But in all the times that I've known Pastor, I've never heard him say one thing off color. Never heard him say anything suggestive. Never heard him tell a joke that, I mean, you wouldn't be able to repeat. And see, that's commonplace today amongst Christians. You know, I believe when you get saved, that thing leaves you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? All things pass away and all things become new. But a good, honest man that loves God, I'd say when I was thinking about it, I put Pastor Camp in that place. Then I believe that a choice man is, a chosen man rather, is a hard-working man. I believe Pastor Camp's a hard worker. Amen. Teaching school, working, pastoring a church, and building houses, and building his house and all that. And so, there's no doubt about it, he's a hard-working man. And I believe if you're going to have a pastor of the church, you've got to have a hard-working man. Amen? You can't have a sluggard. Come on now. You've got to have someone that's in the book all the time, someone that's preparing to feed you on Sunday and Wednesday and give you something from God that God has given him. But you won't get anything from God unless you walk with God. And I believe here's a man that all these years has walked with God, and God's fed him, and he in turn has fed the people of God. So I believe not only honest and hardworking, but honorable. You know, Pastor, I think you're an honorable man. I love your family. I love you. And I believe we can say these things without any kind of hesitation. John 5:44, "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" And I think your pastor has always sought the honor of God and done the right thing and made the right decisions and for the church and for his family. And I believe that's what old William Barrett Travis did out in the Alamo. And you know, we don't read this now because revisionists have taken it out. But when William Travis wrote his letter and said, you know, I've got these Santa Anans against me, and he said, we're going to hold this out, victory or death. And he said, and the byline on there was, "The Lord is for us." But you don't see that today. But that was on the original writing. You know, revisionists today can't stand for anything to be said about the Lord. So I believe that a pastor, I believe in an honorable manner, has kept the Lord before him and kept the Lord before his people and the Lord before his friends. And all of his friends know him as a man that is honorable. And there are some people we know today. You know, I mean, and I mean all of it. If you've been around this country, there's people you walk away from and say, "My." Now you scratch your head, you'd say, "Ooh, I don't know what's going on there." There's never been that question about Pastor Camp. So I believe this, not only honorable, but a happy man. Now, except when he's sick, you know. He didn't smile very much tonight. And as soon as he shook my hand, I went and washed my hands with Purell because I just got over it. And I said, "I'll give you what I got from my doctor that'll cure you." But Proverbs 3:13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding." And I believe that when you get around Pastor Camp, you will get around a happy man. And it'll sort of rub off on you. Amen? You can't get around people that love God and are happy about it without it rubbing off on you. And I believe that's part of leadership. That's your pastoral leadership. You can leave out of church, come in church feeling bad, leave out of church happier than you came in. But I believe that's always prevalent in Pastor Camp's life. He's a happy man. I read about a man that was trying to keep his wife happy. And he said, you know, she said, "I try to do everything." He said, "I try to do everything to make my wife happy." He said, she complained about the housework, and he said, "So I bought her an electric iron, I bought her an electric dishwasher, I bought her an electric dryer, And he said, then she complained about there were so many gadgets around the house that she didn't have a place to sit down. He said, so I bought her an electric chair. And but I believe, Pastor is a happy man. And I believe we ought to be happy. We come to the house of God. I like to be around people that smile, amen? And I don't like to be around people always frowning and act like you're smelling something bad. Now, I don't think you got to smile like you're an idiot. But I think you ought to have a good time in God, amen? And I believe these young people over here ought to see us that are older enjoy our Christianity, amen? Enjoy ourselves in church. Enjoy the singing of the Word of God. Enjoy our Brother Don over here, the way he leads singing. I mean, just great singing. And we were talking before the service, he and I were at Pillsbury years and years ago with Dr. Joe Rammel, and he hadn't changed one bit. Neither is your pastor. Just stayed right on steady right down the line. And so I really appreciate that. Someone once said, evil often triumphs, but it never conquers. And I believe that's a truism there. And Pastor is one that I believe that when you get around him, this happiness will rub off on you a little bit. You look at his children. His children are all happy children. I mean, you get around them, they smile. Well, most of the time you're happy, you know I'm talking about you. Most of the time. I like that, and I like to be around somebody like that. But you know what? Are you listening to me? You can't be happy without knowing the Lord, amen? You can't be happy without having your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. You can't be happy without being on the road to heaven rather than the road to hell. And it's just good to bring his name before you tonight with such honor. I believe this also about him. A chosen man is a humble man. Pastor Kemp is a humble man. And I believe that with all my heart. Not only humble, Micah 6:8, he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm around a lot of preachers. I've been in about 900 churches in evangelism in the 28 years I've been in evangelism, and I've seen some men that I knew full well did not walk with God, were not humble in their faith to God, and were sort of peacocks and big shots and all that. But that's certainly not the case with Pastor Kemp. And I believe a choice man, it can be said, he's healthy spiritually. Amen. He's healthy at 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And I believe that with all my heart. And I believe a chosen man hates evil. You hate it, you see. Well, I'm not going to get around it. I don't want to see it on television. I don't want to read it in the paper. I don't want to be around it at any time in my life. I don't want anyone telling me about it. And many of you know I hunt, and I elk hunt and bear hunt and turkey hunt. I never have a man around me that's going to tell me bad things. I was going to say something evil. Pastor and I have been together many a time. Never have I ever heard one thing evil come out of his mouth or a suggestion like that. And so it's just good to come over. And I know this is not as eloquent as Bill Wingard would have been, I'll tell you right now, but I'm not concerned about eloquence, amen. I'm concerned about truth, and that's what we're talking about tonight. And so I think the last thing I believe that a choice man is a man that hungers for righteousness. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you get up every morning before you brush your teeth and wash your face and you look up into the heavenlies and say, Father, I am hungering and thirsting after righteousness today, you want your day be different. You want you have a better day than the day that you get up without saying that to the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that as we think about Pastor and this last night together here, he's not going to be going. He's just going to be down the road. And if we want to run down there and see him, we can. And if you get sick of a morning, you can call him and get him to come preach. Amen. But I hate to see you leave the church. But you said it must be God's will to do that. And so I salute you tonight, as I'm sure your members do, for the chosen man that you are, because we put you there in that place as a chosen man. Pray with me now. Father, much to do now. This has got to be short and sweet and to the point. I pray that God, you'd bless us and bless the activities to follow. Thank you for Pastor Hanke and his organization. Thank you, Lord, of this time together, that we can salute this great man and always from here forth and forward think of him as a choice man, a chosen man of God. Lord, we'll thank you for it. Give you praise and honor because we pray tonight in Jesus' blessed name and for his sake, Lord. Amen. Amen.